This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Myself. 35 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios, and I'm bringing on an old friend of mine, Scott Patchen, former Colorado State Ram. He was one of our very first NIL athletes we worked with, and Scott, unfortunately, you didn't get to see our new studios, man. You were back when we were in the old dump that was. You remember that place. The chairs were bad, the roof was leaking, I think you had to bring an umbrella in. We moved, man. I wish you could have been around when we actually got to a studio that's somewhat cool.
Yeah, man, it's a shame. I guess I'll have to make an excuse to come back to Colorado, right, and take a visit, take a peek.
Well, I think
what's going on with the new stuff.
I think I owe you some, you know, something for a little friend bet we made about a certain coach that's no more with Colorado State. So you gotta take me up on that bet sometime, my friend.
I guess I'll have to make plans this year, man. I'm excited. CSU's got a good one again, and I'm excited, man. I think everything's looking up for that program.
Scott, how you doing?
Conferences.
Yeah, I want to get into that. I want to get into the CSU stuff. I want to get into it because it was an interesting ending with all that around that time. But how are you doing, man? What's going on in your world? Because I know after college football, you went out, you dipped your toes into the NFL waters to try to see what would come of that. And, man, right there, that's a battle alone just to be able to say you went after it. But what's going on in your world now, man?
Yeah, man. So, look, life is really great for me right now. Had a cup of coffee in the NFL with the Saints and the Colts on some off-season rosters, and things just didn't work out. Nobody wants an older rookie with a bum knee, so that's just how it goes, man. It's life. That's a business they're running, and so be it. So, but life's good for me now, man. I'm back in Tampa. I live downtown. Family's great. Beautiful girlfriend. Life's good. Job's great. So I got no complaints on my end, man.
Well, again, our short time of kind of working together on the shows, you know, I really appreciated you coming in. And it was, you know, that was an interesting time in Rams history, really. I mean, that was Steve Addazio's final year as the head coach. And I know you have a great relationship. Your family has a great relationship with Steve Addazio. And the way it ended at Colorado State certainly wasn't positive. And I know kind of by the end of it, you were... Correct me if I'm wrong, but you were kind of like, I need a break from this place. I'm ready to get out of here and just go on with what's next.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I was ready to, you know, get out of Colorado. And honestly, I mean, it just felt a little toxic. And I don't mean to throw people under the bus when I say this, but like around the program, right, you have certain people that were either making decisions or reporting on those decisions. And it just felt like, you know, I'll just flat out say it honestly. I think Joe Parker wasn't a great AD. I think, like, you know, he would say one thing and do another. So that led me to believe he wasn't too genuine and supportive of Addazio, which is all you really look for in an AD. I think another portion of it, too, was, you know, you got the Coloradian. It feels like every time that there was a singular report negatively, they ran with it, blew it up. I mean, every time I felt like I would open up my Twitter, it's a Coloradian report that Addazio did this, Addazio did that, man. It's like, I can't, like, understand why somebody hates or, you know, looks to start a story. And, you know, maybe that's part of the problem is everyone's rushing to be first on the reporting aspect without it being necessarily true or not. So if that's the world we live in, so be it. But, I mean, sheesh, I've never seen a man's character dragged so much harder than Addazio. So, I don't know, it irks me the wrong way that everybody has, like, this hate for him. And it's just, I mean, if you want to unpack it, we've got COVID where half the guys for the four games are not on the team. Okay. It's not justifiable that you, you know, don't win in any regard. But, I mean, look at the situation the guy was dealt. Okay. So half the team is pretty much opted out during COVID. I don't really want to sit here and harp on that year too much because it was annoying more so than anything else with the COVID protocols and all that. But there's reports leaking that he's racist and not following protocol when, I mean, there's literally people in place to make sure there's a checks and balance when you enter the door, report symptoms, et cetera, mask up indoors, everything outdoors for the most part. But I mean, like, it's just the false narratives that started to from the first like few months I was there was ridiculous, man. So from that, you know, it was toxic, you know. And then leading into 2021, the final season with them, which was 12 games, we had a lot of injuries and stuff like that. And everyone's looking for a portion of blame. And obviously, he's the head guy. He's going to take, you know, a lot of the fault and stuff. But it's felt like, it, you know, definitely was very premature. Everyone's already ready to pull the plug after that. And I get it. You know, if you don't like his personality, that's one thing. But it's just crazy to me that I still hop on Twitter. And, you know, there's certain guys in that market that are still running, you know, his name to the ground like he was the worst thing ever. It's like you didn't give him a time to truly build. And then you guys ran him through the mud and truly attacked his character in every way possible. I mean, I remember hearing a story that they ran with in the Coloradian that there was a janitor he harassed, and the description of the janitor was nobody that was even remotely close to the building. I've spent more time with those coaches in the office, and I could describe to this day the older gentleman with a long white beard that worked those offices and cleaned those floors up there. And for a year and a half, he was the only person I saw. So the Coloradian's describing an inaccurate person that's up there cleaning. And I mean, it's just like, it's stuff like that that I can point to all the time. And it's just, I feel sad for Adazio, man, for a guy that truly gave his all. And, you know, it rubs me the wrong way. So yeah, it was kind of toxic in that nature, man. Every time defending somebody when someone's getting their character run through. I mean, you can look at, here's another one too. I'll give you real quick. They ran stories about Antoine Smith, right? For everything that came out at Temple and those girls that were accusing him of certain things. And I'm pretty sure every single one of those in court got thrown out for lack of evidence and all that. So, listen, the truth always comes out at the end of the day, but I'm just really not a fan of the way that they were attacking certain people's character what I'll pretty much...
No, and I love, like, seriously, dude, I love hearing this side of it, because you and I haven't... I don't think you've been on the show since we finished the Scott Patchen show. It's been years, man. But, and I guess with me... My experiences with Steve, I interviewed him a handful of times on the show, never had a bad interview. I will say the first interview I had with him, I could tell he was distracted because he had 400 other things. And I think that was like the first week he was on the job. So I remember ending that interview and I was like, I think I even said it on the air. Wow, that wasn't one of our better interviews, because Steve was distracted. And that's fine. I get it. I appreciate the time. The second interview I had with him was like amazing. Like, he had me ready to do push-ups. So and you know me, Scott, I'm probably not doing the push-ups like you're still doing. But I remember in my time with him, yes, this guy he's tough. He's a hard-nosed dude. That was my experience. And I know on the other side, there are other reporters, as you mentioned, that really didn't have a lot of positives to say. I can tell you, I didn't have a lot of major negatives from my side of it. But my whole minute that I put out the other day, I did mention that instead of, you know, entertaining a chat with Jim Mora, I don't know how far it went in 2019. I mentioned they went with Steve Adazio. I mentioned the 500 record at Boston College. And that's when you were like, Brady, let's go. It's time to go, well, man. You shut your mouth.
No. And listen. I just thought, right, when you and let me start off with this. I think Jim Mora is a great hire for the school. I love the direction they're going in with the new president and the new athletic director. Can't say that enough, right? And I actually am excited to come back to the school and visit at some point here in the future, because I love the direction and the new hire, and I love everything about it. That being said, I think you can't compare the two, right? And so the nod was clearly Meyer, I guess, right, making, you know, and directing people. But if you want to unpack the two at the time, right, because it was Jim just left UCLA and Adazio was at Boston College. So let's unpack those two. Go look at the recruiting rankings for each team in the last 10 to 15 years and tell me who's clearly had better recruits coming through those doors. And I think it's a no-brainer that it's the harder job at Boston College. It's the Northeast. They don't have money like UCLA has. It's not an attractive job. I mean, it's a harder place to win at. And arguably, you can say during his time, it was a harder conference to be in between the ACC having contenders like FSU and Clemson. So, I mean, to me, it was a fair assessment to really put the work side by side and call him a below 500 coach, because he's taken the harder job, in my opinion.
Yeah, fair point. Yeah, so, again, Jim Mora certainly wasn't on my radar in 2019. He certainly wasn't on my radar even now. You could have told me that name was being thrown out this, 2 months ago, and I would have said, I don't think that's happening. What? Really? Where'd you get that? Apparently nobody knew. But that's fair. And you and I think have talked a little bit about this too, with Addazio. All I've seen this year from a lot of people with Jay Norvell's crew, even when he was fired and it was Tyson Summers, was injuries. Oh, they've got this guy injured, this guy injured, this guy. Well, what you just mentioned in that 2021 year, there was a lot of that going on too. And there was a part of me with Addazio that was like, this was pretty quick because you gave him the 2020 year. And like you and I think we both agree that was an annoying time. And then the following year. I mean, that is basically you gave him 1 year if we want it, because I think most people just write 2020 off like it didn't happen in the sports world.
I mean, it was kind of a crazy year at that. I mean, yeah, I don't really count 2020 as a year because you had 8 games scheduled. You played 4 of them. I mean, you didn't really have much time as a team to grow and develop. So guys missing practices, testing positive. It was a nuts time, right? So like you said, even if you want to count that year, you gave him – 16 games, though, to really kind of cement himself, recruit his guys, develop. I mean, part of the reason, you could really harp on, I think more so than Norvell with Addazio, though, is Norvell had more years to grow and develop his team and build that depth, whereas Addazio had 2 recruiting classes, really. I mean, one, he probably took some of the guys from Bobo's class, if I had to guess, that just stayed recruited. I wouldn't 100% put that class on him, but I mean, and that's usually how it goes, just so everybody, I'm not making an excuse for Addazio on that one, but like that's how that goes when you get into the job late and you take on some of those recruits that have been identified from the previous staff, just because you're late in the game, building relationships, trying to attract kids. That's the nature of the business that everybody's in. But that being said, when you have more years, you have the opportunity or the expectation, at least as the leader of the program, to build the depth in the way you see fit. So that being said, I make that excuse for Addazio, but I mean, how many years was Norvell there since 2022?
True. I mean, if you want to get crazy, you could make an argument and say with the time Jay Norvell had compared to Steve Addazio's time, which again, COVID year and then the following year, you could make a case that things got worse. This was arguably the worst year in Colorado State history, certainly since I've been following this team.
Listen, I'll tell you one thing that I just want to point out real quick. You would have never had a guy under Addazio spit on another player. Like, that was – I don't know if that's because Norvell wasn't there to be a leader of the program, but I tell you what, that's an indictment on the character of the kid you're bringing in, and that's not something we would have had.
Scott Patchen joining us, former Colorado State Ram. And I guess in my defense on those, Scott, those whole minutes, they're a minute. I can only do a minute. And we do elaborate. We tend to elaborate on the show sometimes. But I think these are fair points, man. And in your viewing of the video, you're like, you even said, you're like, that's a lazy take to just throw out that Steve Addazio was a 500 coach compared to what Jim Mora did at UCLA. And then you bring it up the recruiting facts. And I think those are valid points that I didn't consider.
And that's not to take a knack or how do I put this? That's not to take things lightly and say that Jim Mora is not a good coach or anything like that. I just think like they're not easily comparable side by side is all I want to get at. And I think Jim's a great coach. And so I don't know if people know, but he recruited me when I was coming out of high school.
You said that, yeah.
So he, and like, I'm a fan of him, right? Like UCLA was one of the first schools to offer me. And I was, talking to him and the rest of the staff, felt like weekly coming out, they were putting the pressure on me to get a Florida boy to go to the West Coast, but I don't know if that was going to happen. but nonetheless, I mean, like, I'm very familiar with him and his work, and I think he's going to be a great fit for Colorado. I think, the fit in Fort Collins is beautiful, and, you really can't compare that to what's out there in UConn, but I do think it's easier to probably recruit at with Fort Collins being, just a better city in general is what I'll say. And I don't mean that from like the people. I mean that from, I'm trying to think about how to describe this. It's a more beautiful city, right? Like you've got the mountains at the foothills, you've got Horsetooth. Like to me, it's just, it was a complete 360 from obviously coming from Miami, but I enjoyed it so much, and And I love living in Fort Collins, man. That was an amazing town, amazing city. Sure, UConn's got some great people too, but everybody that I met in person was so kind to me in Fort Collins. And I can't speak highly enough about, you know, the people and the way I was treated in Fort Collins when I spent it, you know, those I'll call it 2 years. I don't know if it was 2 years, but I loved my time in Fort Collins, man. It was just an amazing, you know, time period of my life. Everybody treated me amazing. I had great teammates. You know, the coaching staff, I thought, helped me elevate my game. I learned more from those two people, Antoine and, you know, Adazio, than I ever did. And honestly, it still makes me think that I should get into coaching. I talk to Antoine once a month, and he keeps trying to tell me I should hop into coaching. But I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm ready to spend more time watching film, breaking down everything every day. But Fort Collins was an amazing place, and I think it's an easy decision side by side to pick Fort Collins over UConn if I had to guess, which is what led Jim to end up in Fort Collins as well. But I'm sure he's going to love it and have a great success there as well.
Well, Scott, I appreciate you jumping on me. Dude, let's not wait 4 years to do this again, okay? I'm sure we could spend another hour just talking about Lane Kiffin together on this, because I know you still follow college football so closely.
But I'm sure you see my retweets, yeah.
Yes, no. And you and I have kept a good relationship over the years, and I really appreciate that, man. But hey, you messaged me and you said, hey, I want to talk about it. Let's talk about it on the phone. And I was like, dude, just jump on the show. And you're like, hell yeah, let's go. So, Scott, my man, I appreciate you, dude. And I loved working with you in that year when we were doing the Scott Patchen show, man. That was a blast.
Oh yeah, man, it was a blast working with you as well. I can't speak to it enough, but love my time working with you and spending my time with everybody else in Fort Collins. It was a great, you know, I think 2 years in total of my life spent there, and everybody there is awesome. I'm excited for the future for everybody included. You should have a lot to talk about this year with Jim Moore moving forward, man. Excited for you guys. Hope family's doing well and great. Everybody is doing amazing.
Yeah, you too, man. And again, stay in touch. And if you do make your way over here, you know, reach out. I owe you. I won't say what we bet, but I owe you something. So, all right. All right, Scott,
good,
dude.
Brother.
Appreciate you, bro. We'll talk to you soon, man.
All right. See you.
There's Scott Patchen, former CSU Ram. Let's unpack that coming up on the other side. It's 11:52. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. A Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
For Hall of Fame Preps Talk, listen to Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 at Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.